This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. 312-981-7200 is our number. And we're just going to kind of play, intersperse some cuts from the week that was as we move closer into caucus time in Iowa. And you've got Donald Trump leading in many of the polls. You got former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, his campaign, who knows. But he's issued a warning ad of what he thinks voters might be hearing on Election Day in November 2016 if Trump is the nominee.
All right, with almost all of the vote now actually counted, we can now project that Hillary Clinton will win.
I'm watching Hillary Clinton receive the victory tonight.
They look at Donald Trump as the greatest gift from heaven, an easy person to beat in a general election.
And then she'll become the next president of the United States.
That's the Jeb Bush ad airing in Iowa, and I always love the way music becomes such an element in these ads. You know, the kind of there you have got the nightmare kind of scenario kind of thing. You also have the inspiring music that wells up when you want to put a positive spin on things. But that's kind of a sampling of what people are hearing out in Iowa, New Hampshire, and we'll have some other cuts to play of some of the ads as well. But joining me right now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is State Representative Rob Martwick, Democrat from Chicago, someone very interested in this whole issue involving the Chicago public school system. And, Representative, thank you for getting up with me this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Rick. It's great to be here.
We had kind of an interesting last week here with Governor Rauner, the Republican leaders of the House and Senate, presenting their plan to their what was called a lifeline and not a bailout, a plan to have the state take over the Chicago Public Schools, a school finance authority, replace the Chicago Board of Education, which ostensibly would lead to that board filing bankruptcy on behalf of the Chicago Public Schools, something not allowed by state law. And then when the finances were straightened out, that there would be a phased-in elected school board. Both of the Democratic leaders, Senate President John Cullerton, House Speaker Mike Madigan, basically said this is a non-starter. I know you're a supporter of an elected school board.
I am.
But when you look at some of the numbers going on here, and now we've learned that it, ostensibly CPS can get through the school year. And it's always like a moving target, it seems, with CPS.
Yeah, the there has been a history of year after year after year. CPS comes to us with a financial crisis, a meltdown. We are $1 billion short. We are $500 million short in our budget every year, and yet every year they seem to get by. And these budgets disappear. There's a lot of manipulation when they do the budgets. They seem to be to historically underestimate the number of children that will, or overestimate the number of children that will show up for the school year. There's all sorts of little trickery that goes on, and there's no doubt that there is a big financial crisis right now. There's no doubt. It is real.
They rely so much on borrowing. They're going out for $850 million.
Right.
They wanted $450 million worth of help from Springfield. We're looking at an $800 million deficit next year.
Next year, yeah. The question I always get asked is, how did we get into this mess, right? Where did it come from? And I think that the answer is important. And it's important to be honest, because hopefully it will guide our future behavior so that we don't engage in the practices that got us into the mess to begin with. And I tell people most of these problems come from, whether it's the state level or on CPS, they come from clear fiscal irresponsibility. It's the government doing with a budget or treating a budget, which really is no different than the way you treat your own home checkbook.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. But and I mean, and it's an important distinction because people think that budgets are very complicated and very difficult. And the federal government, no doubt, because you get into monetary policy. We don't have monetary policy in the state. This is money in, money out. And the way our elected leaders have acted over the course of the last 40 years can be nothing less than complete and total fiscal irresponsibility. And so we have to correct those problems going forward. We have to start acting responsibly if we're ever going to get out of the mess. We can't do more of the same.
But when you look at, as we launched this discussion about kind of the this floating deadline of, you know, of crises, right, that that never really materializes,
yep,
where do we get the transparency? Where do we get the adequacy to assess what's really going on here?
Well, and that's my hope for an elected school board. Right now we have a school board that, because of the 1995 School Reform Act, that's what it was called. It didn't seem to work out that way. Full control was given to the mayor of the city of Chicago.
But he wanted it.
He did want it. This is what Mayor Daley wanted. But he did more than get control of the operation of the schools, right? So he was now able to appoint his own board without any oversight from the city council. There's no vetting process. There is no confirmation process. There's no oversight process. It's entirely owned by the mayor of the city of Chicago. But they also did a few other things, not the least of which one was, and this is really not germane to this discussion, but it is important to note, was essentially the turnaround agenda, right? He said, let me remove collective bargaining rights from the Chicago Teachers Union so I can better control the situation, and that will solve my financial problems. That didn't work out, right? The other part that was really, really crazy was before 1995, there was a line item on your property tax bill that said Chicago teacher pensions. And so you knew a portion of your bill was going to go directly to the pension fund, which is responsible. We're paying our obligation. In 1995, after the School Reform Act was passed, that line item was eliminated. And the obligation for the pension payment was then rolled in to the general operational fund line item on your real estate tax bill. So now the money was all intermingled with operating money, and it was up to the newly appointed school board and the mayor, ostensibly, to decide how much of that to put into the fund. And they gave them wiggle room to allow them to not use that money. And from 1995 to 2005, a decade, when a pension payment, if we are fiscally responsible, should have been made every year, was not made once. 10 years without a pension payment.
And the fund, pre-1995, was very solvent.
Full. And you know, this is where you get into fiscal irresponsibility. They say, well, we're 90% funded. And now before it, we were over 100% funded. They said, well, we're 90% funded. It's close enough.
Good enough for government work.
Good enough for government work. And, of course, the problem, as we all know, was that the market was overinflated by the housing bubble. And when it burst, having not made a payment for over a decade, the whole thing collapsed. If we had made our payments timely, the pension, there would be no problem today. There would be no problem today. Fiscal irresponsibility led us to it. Not another part, you know, and this is, of course, a big subject these days. There's much made of the fact that the Chicago Public Schools pays a portion of the teacher's pension. So 9% of the teacher's salary is supposed to go into the pension fund. They only pay 3%. The city picks up 6% of their payment. Everyone says, that's ridiculous. How could they not contribute into their own pension? But the truth is, that was negotiated. The CPS said, we'll make that payment for you if you don't take a pay raise. So now they were, over the course of that decade, not only not making their payment, they were not making the teacher's portion of the payment that they were supposed to pick up. So it was just disaster waiting to happen, and that's where we are today.
We're speaking with State Representative Rob Martwick. We're talking about the financial issues confronting the Chicago Public Schools and where do we go next. We'll be back with more right after this.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences.
so long now.
Great song.
Oh, you're a hard one. But I know you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen.
That's Glenn Frey. On David Letterman, on the original David Letterman show from 1984 with Desperado, one of my favorite songs of all time, as we kind of pay homage to Glenn Frey, who passed away at 67 last week. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase studio with State Representative Rob Martwick. We're talking about the Chicago Public Schools. A couple of listener questions, and one is obviously the traditional one. What happened to the lottery money? Okay. Which I think is probably the most asked question that I get, and probably I have to say for you in the legislature.
And it is, and I always, I remember word for word my good friend, Senator Don Harmon, who's been there quite a bit longer than I have, receiving that very question, and I was really kind of new to the process at that point, and I said, ooh, this is going to be a tough one. And it's not. He said, good news, all of the lottery money goes towards education. He said, the bad news is it's only $600 million and we spend $7 billion a year on education. So the lottery money is going to fund the schools, but the idea that the lottery monies was going to pay for the schools is it's one-tenth, not even, of what we need to spend on education. And that's while we are structurally underfunding education. We actually should be spending more.
And in a related question, another listener asks, well, what about a Chicago downtown casino to help the schools?
Yes. When can I vote on it? Can you call somebody, Rick? Because I need to get on that bill. Gaming is not anything to be made light of, but I'm of the belief at this point, when you can gamble online, when you can walk into a 7-Eleven or your corner gas station or a newsstand and throw $100 and buy lottery tickets, and I've seen this happen. Give me 10 of those, 5 of these. Gambling is not something that, at this point, future controls on gambling are really, it's driven by protecting the casinos that already exist. And if we believe in free market principles, let's compete. Let's open up casinos. Let's let people compete. We're leaving revenue on the table. We're losing it to Indiana. We have too many financial problems to not be considering all forms of revenue at this point.
And that'll be another part of the debate. And,
yep.
I mean, the governor's kind of been both ways on that issue.
Well, unfortunately, it's used, and it's been used by many different sides as a bargaining chip. You know, the moment somebody really
since 1995,
wants, yes,
I believe.
Yes, the moment somebody really wants something, or even worse, really needs something, there's someone who's going to try and deny it to you unless you come up with something. And right now, for the governor, it's another bargaining chip to pass his turnaround agenda.
Well, and one of the issues in the proposal offered by the Republican leaders of the legislature involving CPS that is backed by the governor, goes back to that fundamental part of his turnaround agenda, which is union weakening provisions, and
right,
that a bankruptcy, well, one, that the a interim finance authority board that his Board of Education, State Board of Education, would appoint, if there's no contract reached, they would be in charge of negotiating the contract.
Right.
And if a contract even was reached, if you go into bankruptcy, that could overturn the what was agreed upon in the contract.
That's correct. And you know, we see two things with this. Number one, the governor is saying, trust me, I'll be the tough negotiator and I'll get this thing done. We have the same problem with the governor is at this, has declared an impasse in state, the negotiations with the largest state union. Yes. And it's, you know, I've been being kept abreast of what's going on there. And the meeting before the governor declared an impasse, AFSCME came and said, hey, we'll make concessions on these three items. And he comes back the next time and says, impasse. All after he said, I promise I'll negotiate in good faith. So the idea of giving him control, it would appear as though he wants to run the state as though he were the CEO of the state, not the governor. And that's just not the way state government's supposed to run.
Well, what do we do about CPS? And ideally, you know, and you touched on it, there's all the talk about let's redo the school aid formula.
Yes, that's important.
But, of course, anytime anybody talks about that, you deal with winners and losers and the battles that ensue with that.
And I can tell you exactly why that is such a hard thing to pass. People ask, why can't you just get that one done? Fix the school aid formula so it's fair. The problem is that for the last decade at least, could be longer, we have been underfunding education, meaning there is a nonpartisan commission of people that study. They do a study and they report back to the state and say, this is the minimum amount of money that you should spend per pupil, generally, in the state of Illinois in order to make the minimum proper education. And for the last decade, we've been funding it an amount less than that. So 87% of the minimum foundational level for years. Last year, we were all celebrating and patting ourselves on the back because we went to 92%. And I'm like, wait, we're still 8% short of the minimum. This is like sending in 92% of your mortgage payment and saying, I did a great job this month, you know. So we have a problem where we structurally fund education. When we do that, that means every school in this state is getting less than they're supposed to. So how do you go to a school district and tell them, I know you're getting less, but I need to give you even less because somebody else needs more? And so you get the optics. What state representative is going to vote to allow their schools to get even less than they are currently getting? The only way to get to that point is when we fund education at the minimum foundational level. And here's the key. We exceed, imagine that, the minimum foundational level for education. So if we can get ourselves somewhere where we are a 105, 110% of the minimal foundational level, now you're not stealing from one person to give to the other. You're just redistributing the assets, and I think that would go over. But we have to get to that point.
And get the money for it.
We sure do. We have to raise the revenue in order to properly fund education. And no one likes to hear that. No one wants to hear that we need to raise taxes. But if we this is a financial problem. And if we don't confront a financial problem with money, what we're doing is exactly, we talked about the fiscal irresponsibility. That means we're putting it on a credit card yet more, which means the next generation will have even bigger problems and higher debt than we have now. And that's not acceptable.
But isn't that kind of, that leads me back to the CPS problem here.
It is
that if you're a lawmaker, not from the city of Chicago, and you see these issues that have occurred at CPS, Barbara Bird Bennett, contracting issues. You've got layoff notices sent out on Friday, but part of that is positions that weren't even filled.
Right.
The bureaucracy. I mean, I think people are, your colleagues from outside Chicago would be supportive if there was, you know, if they could see that, as I said earlier, transparency or accountability.
Yes. And that is where the elected school board comes from. Transparency because it is now a publicly elected body, accountability because it is a publicly elected body. You vote for your school board member. If they don't do the job, you can toss them out in the next election. This is fundamental rights in a democracy. We don't have it in the Chicago public schools right now. If we have that, people's biggest gripe, and you hear this all the time, no one wants to pay taxes. I'd like to pay no taxes at all. But I get that that's not a reality, and most people do. And when I talk to my constituents about the financial problems, they say, look, it's not paying taxes that I mind. It's the wasting of the money. And so if we had accountability, if we felt that people were going to be accountable to us, I think that people would understand. People do not want to see 5,000 teachers laid off in the middle of a school year.
That's State Representative Rob Martwick, a Democrat from Chicago, supporter of elected school board. And he'll be in the thick of things as things develop with Chicago Public Schools. Representative, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me on. Anytime, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.